This is Embracing Change with Lakrita Bowman and Jennifer Osborne. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Embracing Change. Hi, Miss Lakrita. How are you today?
I am great. And yourself?
I'm doing pretty good. Not really, I'm not a heat person, so the heat's kind of been getting to me, but I'm good. I'd rather it be hot than cold, though, for sure.
Oh, okay. Today is a good day, though. Today feels like a Michigan day. In Michigan, it's usually a day you come out and it's usually kind of cool. It's not very hot. And those days, today when I walked out my house, it was after being such, it was to me so hot the last few days, but coming out today felt like, oh my God, I can't wait till I finish today so I can go on an hour walk.
Because
it's so beautiful. The wind is blowing. It's just the atmosphere just feels better.
Yeah. So at the time of recording, it is July 9th, and it has been very, very hot at different points the last couple of weeks. If you're in the Cincinnati area, you know what I'm talking about. Very humid.
I think it's like that across the world right now.
Oh, yeah.
There's so many things going on. It's just been a lot, especially in Florida. Florida, I'm praying for Florida. It's been a lot going on in Florida.
Yeah.
The collapse of the building, the hurricanes. It's just been a lot going on in Florida. So,
yeah.
Because we're all one. You know, we just live in different places of the world, but we're all one world.
Yeah.
So what affects one really affects the other.
It's like what they call the butterfly effect.
Mm-hmm. What affects one affects the other. We just don't always believe that, but it's the truth.
So we're going to pick back up from our really great conversation in episode one of the season. The season's name is Resetting Our Beliefs, and we're taking a much deeper dive into how to dismantle what we believe. And that's not an easy job at all. So last episode, we talked about what have you been believing? Like, what is it that you actually like take in and live your life by absolutes, and how do you dig into those absolutes and change those? But today we're going to get into where did your beliefs come from? And when you ask yourself that question, have your answers been different from maybe belief to belief?
Yeah, but they have. But my original, you know, like when I look at the question is where did the beliefs come from, I think the bigger question is, where did the source of your information come from? You know, like, what's your source of your information? We share with ourselves, with others. Where did it originate from? And I'm not saying that it's a right or wrong, good or bad. You know, it's just asking ourselves enough times, where did that come from? And does that still work today? It may have worked yesterday, or it may work 10 years ago. That information. But is that information going to work? Because right now, you look at technology, right? They send in something, they're making something right now that we have not even seen yet because they realize what we have today is not going to work for tomorrow. So technology is always expanding itself way before we get it. So there's people in a room somewhere creating algorithms and different things to create another way. You look at Apple, and Apple comes from the first phone to now it's at Apple 12. Right now they're going to probably, it'll be Apple 13 and 14. Why do they keep believing that? Because they believe the technology, you look at, you know, is changing consistently. But we don't do that with our own belief systems. We don't do that. We don't sit still long enough to ask ourselves, well, what the information and the beliefs, that the information I have, I'm just going to talk really more about information. The information I have today, is it going to work on the problems or the chaos that I am experiencing? So I'm going to give you an example. If I believe that I can trust nobody, and that is the information I have based on the experience I had, I'm going to talk more about information. You know, what do we do? Does the information I have today, can it solve the problems of tomorrow? Because I believe the reason that everything is always upgrading, as they call the upgrade, because, and even when we get in our phones and then we have to download and install a new, you know, upgrade because what we was using a month ago or a year ago is no longer going to be capacity to do the things that we need to do tomorrow. And I don't think we, you know, really look at, and I'm going to go back to the last, just say 18 months we had through the pandemic. Some people didn't survive it. Not, we know a lot of people, and God bless their families, that didn't survive it in the natural through death. But there's people and businesses that didn't survive it because they did not prepare. They didn't have the bandwidth or the resources, or they didn't think about the information they had today. If something was to happen, will that carry me through the next level? Or do I need to look at what I need today so I can think about tomorrow and prepare for it? Some people were able to get right on board with Zoom and do all those things. And I'm just saying, I remember when, especially Christians, I can only speak for Christians. And I even speak for me. I remember in 1998, when I was introduced primarily to, you know, I had to learn computers and I had to go to a computer class. And I used to say, and I still believe this now, so don't think I don't believe it, because I do. I still believe that technology has the ability, has potential to steal relationships. I really believe that. I'm not going to change my mind. That's my belief. I think that, but it's not either or, it's and in both. And yet, what I had to learn in 1998, even though at first it was like, I don't want to learn that because I don't want them to steal my relationships. Now, I sounded kind of crazy since I didn't really care about relationships, but for some reason, something deeper inside of me said that. It did. It said, this has potential to steal relationships. And I heard it like it was somebody speaking. And so immediately I grabbed onto it. Just that thought, that's the information that came up in me. I grabbed up on it, right? And I was going to build a whole belief system on that one thought that technology has potential to kill. That's information. That one thought of information has potential to steal relationship. Now, in 1998, I was still going through such a transformational, you know, deliverance and a transformational way of living to try to get from my old thinking self to my new self, to embrace what I, you know, to let go of what I, the old, to embrace the new. And yet in that moment, when I was being introduced to computers, my first thought or information came to me, said, this has potential to steal relationship. Huh. And so I'm like, I'm going to build this whole, you know, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to learn it. Whole thing on that thought. And I remember having this conversation with several people and saying, I'm not really going to, you know, I just think that's stupid. I don't need no computer. I don't need this. I don't need that. And this is 1998. And I'm sure, I don't know when computers were, you know, because I was in prison so much. I don't know when computers were at that point. You know, we could look it up, was developed, you know, and when they very, you know, but I remember Microsoft starting a little small and then they went from different places to, you know, I just remember now going back and looking at them when they were just little boxes and, you know, IBM and just all those kind of, you know, and then next thing you know, it's these big old things, you got laptops. And so I just know in 1998, for me, this is my story and I'm telling it. And I remember I was going to build this whole belief system upon computers and technology is going to steal relationships. You know, so the reality of it is that I'm going to build this whole case up on this concept, this belief. And I'm telling you, so for about 6 months, I was going back and forth with, I'm not going to go to computer classes. I'm not going to go. And I was telling myself that. And I was constantly saying it. And then I came to realize the reason I didn't want to go, that may be true. That may be a truth. But the real truth was I was afraid. I was going into an uncomfortable zone. So I began to tell myself I was being pushed out of my comfort zone. I was used to writing everything. So now I will have to type it and learn Word and put it in an email form and, you know, that kind of thing. So it meant that my brain and my mind and my information and my beliefs would have to change. Mm. And so I was coming, so my 2% mindset believed that 2% of me, you know what I'm saying, was like really like believed that was true, that it was still relationship. But the 98% of it was about my fear and my comfort zone, the unknown.
Yeah.
And so I came to believe in that moment that I was going to build a whole moment off of that belief. And I can just go back and remember when it was happening. And I remember the person who said, no, you're going. Because your job, my responsibilities for my ministry depended on it. So it goes back to how many other people believed that. And when COVID came, they believed that, or they were uncomfortable. They were not comfortable to go out of their comfort zone. And so technology has left them behind. And they have left themselves behind because they can't really do. And now everything is technology. Your banking, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Everything is online. Everything, I'm telling you, you know, it's only a matter of time the snail mail will go away. Maybe because it's the U.S. government. I don't know. Maybe it won't. But I'm serious. You either get snail mail or you get email. You got two mails. Which one are you doing?
Right.
Most people, now, you know, you can get money immediately with the app, with the money app, Cash App.
Yeah.
Another one is started with a V.
Venmo.
And, you know, then you got PayPal. And, you know, and you look at, you know, even Elon Musk and, you know, everything he did because he owned PayPal and then he sold it. It was a space. So technology, my point here is that we have to be so open to the source of our information and where it comes from, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of that stuff is, for me, most of my primitive information came, I believe all of ours come from our parents. That's our first source who introduces us to this world and where it comes from and, you know, the things they say and how they model their lives in front of us. And my mother was a screamer. She was, you know, she raised her voice all the time. You know what I mean? She was always adamant on raising her voice. And I remember that's how I was so long. And I wonder where that came from. It was modeled before me. She believed her voice tone and her position in her voice would discipline us or make us scared. Well, my sister, it did. But for me, it just made me more rebellious. So, you know,
opposite effect.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So not everything works for the same people in the same way. But I believe our first level of beliefs or information comes from our parents. They kind of put in us the things, and then their parents put in them what they believe. And so you look at our environment, you know, a lot of how we live and the culture we grow up in and who we're around and, you know, our environment, the neighborhood we live in, the people that live in the neighborhood, all of that is called information gathering. And those create belief systems. And we don't even know consciously we're doing it or we're gathering, just like with the computer piece I told you, and just with that one thought. And yes, I've investigated since then, and I do see where technology can steal authentic relationships. It can help you avoid it. So it wasn't that I had to lose that thought, but I couldn't let that thought create fear on me to stay in my comfort zone and leave me behind. And so the truth is it has potential to steal relationship, but it also has potential to build relationship. That's why you got Facebook and that's why you got Twitter and that's why you got, you know what I'm saying?
Instagram
and all that, because they can connect you to people all over the world that you normally wouldn't see or hear from because you're in one place and one environment, they're in another.
Right.
So yeah. It helps with you connecting. So it's an and both. It's not an either or. But it's also, you look at a email And some people can cuss you out without ever using a profanity. And they can cut you up and cut a relationship off the same way through technology.
Yeah.
Through emails and the way that they say it and the tone they say it in. And so a lot of times for me, I have if you text me twice, that's going to be good enough. You text me three times, I'm picking up the phone.
Yeah.
Because I need to have a conversation because you got enough. I'm not going to sit there and keep, but I know this generation, that is what they do.
Yeah, it's all about the texting, the quick
burst right there instead of having a dialogue and an interaction. And I've learned that I like to, after a while, have a conversation face to face because I can read you better if I'm with you. Right. I can really read you without being with you because I got a gift like that. But I can read you better if I'm with you because I'm going to see your body tone. I'm going to see your body language. I'm going to hear your tone. I'm going to see your eyes. I'm going to be able to just feel your energy. And so I'm just saying that our environment matters. I think we gather information and our belief system from our education or the lack of education. So it's either or. But sometimes we can become such scholars in the educational world that we have no common sense. You know what I'm saying? And we can become so scholar in the streets that we have no educational sense. So you got to find how to gather your information and where you and what made you believe you didn't need it. Or what made you believe that what the teacher said was true? Did you go check it out? If they gave you a book, did you read it? They said, somebody said, if you ever want to hide something from people, put it in a book. Because most of the time, we won't read it.
It's so funny.
You know, put it in a book because you won't read it. You know what I'm saying? They really say that about African Americans, but I say about the humans. Because as the generation moves on, I don't think it's about color or race. It's about people wanting it quick. That's why, you know, they don't work for stuff. They can be instant, have a million hits on something, and then they become an overnight sensation.
Yeah.
And have no value.
Right.
You didn't even work for that.
Right.
Just somebody liked the same thing you liked because they believed the same thing you believed. You know what I mean? And I know you and I talk about people on our podcast and following. I don't really care how many followers I get. If I get five people listening to this and it changed your life.
Right.
I have one.
Right.
If I got two people that you consider doing something different. I have one.
Right.
Because right. In the end, it's all about you becoming the best version of you.
Yeah.
And being willing to ask yourself, where did that belief come from?
Right.
You being willing to ask yourself, where did the source of this information that I'm sharing with myself and other people come from?
Right. It reminds me of like before sex education really got rolling. The way people understood and learned about sex was from their friends, and it was wildly wrong.
Exactly.
And so girls were getting pregnant and, you know, STDs and stuff like that. But yeah, so it that was a layer of information that created a belief in somebody. And then, I mean, lots of somebody's obviously.
And then we took prayer out of schools. Come on. Then we took sex education out of schools.
Yep.
When I think that, you know, and then I look at the school systems now, there are some people who cannot even balance a checkbook because nobody taught them that common. They took home economics out of school.
Right.
The areas of things that talking about life skills. We wonder why we're in the generation that we in.
Yeah.
Because we have taken the very fundamental things that are basic education, basic skills, how to treat each other. We've taken it out of the education system. And if you go back and look under John Rockefeller, if anybody, you familiar with him, the Rockefellers?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, enough to know his name and that he did a lot of philanthropy and things like that.
Yeah, so. But if you go back and look even deeper, he didn't really want people to be educated.
Ugh.
He wanted people to be laborers so they can make him rich. Look it up.
Wow.
The Rockefellers. And I studied that because I didn't, you know, somebody was telling me again, somebody was telling me something. And then I was like, that don't sound right. So I went and did some research. And he makes statements about, you know, why do we need to educate people when we can just create, make them laborers?
Mm.
You know what I mean? Because he didn't support the education bill. He didn't support those things because he didn't believe that people should be educated.
That's terrible.
You know, but that's his belief system. They're rich people, right? If you look at the Rockefellers and where they was some of the richest people in the world. So money creates systems. And they create people to do things, and then people buy into it because they're so afraid that they're going to be left or not be noticed. So they allow people that has influence. And if you don't have, for me, God being first, and then you having, because money don't is not evil. It says the love of it is the root, meaning that you will do anything for it. You would put anything before it. Because we need resources and money in order to operate in the world. It's an exchange of goods. That's how we do it. So I'm just saying that it's your parents originate your source of information and your beliefs. Your education, your environment, they are all part of it. But guess what else? Your pain. Your pain will tell you stuff that is not true.
Oh, amen to that.
Your pain, whether it's emotional, whether it's physical, whether it's spiritual, it will tell you stuff that is not true.
Right. Right. And it will impact you
forever, for generations.
Yes. And you can pass that trauma down through epigenetics.
Exactly. And you just keep passing it down without ever sitting still long enough to realize I must heal from the pain before I can really build a foundation on why I do what I do.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's even our pain that does it. Our experiences create that makes us gather information and belief system that isn't always the truth.
Yeah. Yep. It's how you interpret it and experience as well. Like you can, like driving, for instance, you can be driving and someone can cut you off and you can, or they may drive. A better example is them driving slow. You get behind someone who's driving slow and you think, oh my gosh, this is keeping me from where I need to go. I need to get around them. You like think of a million ways you can get around them. Whereas if you looked at it as, maybe God needed you to slow down for a reason to keep you from a wreck or something along those lines. So it alters how you interpret that experience and what you believe.
Exactly.
And I mean, it's just that little, it sounds so simple, but it's
profound.
Not. Right. Right. And that will change how you believe and see things.
And how you treat yourself and how you treat other people.
Yeah.
It can change the trajectory of all of that. Your pain and your experiences, you know, and I'm saying coming back to the beginning of what I started with was the thought that I had is that, oh, I don't want to learn computers because they're going to steal
my relationships.
Yep, yep. And the Lord said, you don't like people anyway. So
you, that's a different issue.
But it's still, so what, you know, the relationships you have, what do you mean by that?
Where's it going to impact?
Where's it going to impact?
Yeah.
For you to go learn something in technology. You know what I mean? So it's like, oh, okay, yeah, I guess I should think about that. Yeah. You know what I mean? And so, but what I had to realize that the reality of it is, was that it was more about me being comfortable and me not knowing and then the fear of the unknown and how, again, it goes back to value and worth, what I talked to before. What is that going to say about me? Is it going to be difficult? Oh my God, can I learn that? Do I have the capacity? And once I got in there, I scaled it. And then guess what? I got so smart, I didn't necessarily have to learn at all. I just put people around me that knew it. That's what smart people do. You know what I mean? You put gifted people around you that knows it. You got to know the basics to get through life. But you need to also know what you don't know. What I'm weak in, somebody else is strong in. Having the ability to put the right people around you in your life to help you get to the information you need. Because like I said in the beginning, the information I have today, will it really help me tomorrow? Or do I need to be constantly open to learning new stuff for new opportunities, for new experiences, for new pain that I'm going to have, for you know what I'm saying, for new environments I'm going to be in, for new education that is going to be presented. You know, I have to always be open to learning those things and understanding to understand the source of where my information is coming, and then how am I going to articulate it, and then how am I going to utilize it. I think we all have to be in that way of knowing how to kind of maneuver that, if that makes sense.
No, it does. Even to the extent of how can I dismantle that if it's not a good, true thing, or it's having a negative impact on
you. Exactly. Because some people get lost on the internet and go to places they shouldn't go.
Right, right.
Some people get lost in gaming, meaning on those game systems and technology, and they lose their whole life. They don't come out of a room.
Yeah.
They don't use their resource of time for nothing. So it does have exactly what the thought I had, but it also has the good thing too on the other side. So you just have to know how to steward all of it.
Yeah, you have to be able to use it as a tool and not let it be used as a weapon.
Exactly.
A hammer can build a house or it can hurt somebody.
Exactly.
So
I always say, you know what I'm saying, you can either pull the sword out and cut yourself, or you can pull the sword out and cut everything else down. Your choice.
There you go.
Sometimes you do have to cut yourself off, though. So you got to learn how to cut yourself off. You know what I mean? Some things you got to use the sword to cut things down.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you got to use the sword to cut things up. You got to just know how to use the sword. And it's like you said, and know that the toolbox has many tools in it. You know, the world we live in has 12, may have more, but I studied 12 systems. The education system, the economic system, the entertainment system, the government, the legal, the financial, the religion, the political, the social, the defense, the labor, and society. Those are all systems. And we gather information and beliefs from all of them. And we have to realize that, you know, we're either, you know, embracing the unknown, or we, you know, looking at liking change or disliking it, pushing the unknown away, you know, not being curious enough. We are either exploring new things or pushing new things away. We're either doing one or two. But we have to be willing to do both. We need to be able to push things away if they're not healthy for us, and also embrace new things that will bring health to us and will bring like-mindedness to us and will, you know, do those things and will challenge our thinking and will challenge our behaviors and will challenge our belief systems and will challenge how we see the world and how we see each other.
Yeah.
We have to be willing to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. And get yourself positioned even to be able to have the energy to be willing to do that.
Exactly.
Sometimes it just takes, how do I get myself mentally healthy to be able to tackle some of those things?
Yeah, because it takes mental energy.
It does. Some people are like, oh, I'm just too tired. I'm just going to keep doing what I've always done, believing what I've always believed, and, you know, never change. There are people that make that conscious decision of, I'm not going to change because it takes too much effort. Not realizing that with the effort then comes good fallout, if you will. I mean, fallout is a negative word, but good outcome. Like they'll get to the other side of, wow, if I hadn't have moved, this wouldn't have ever changed. You know, like, wow, I'm glad I did that. So,
but it's like, I was telling someone this week that it's not like some of the things that God has asked that I am choosing, because that's the other thing I'm learning is my words. I don't have to do nothing. I choose to do it. And when I choose to do it, I take more responsibility versus if I have to do it. If I feel like I have to do it, I resist it more.
Yeah.
And so you can either be pushed or pulled. It's just like an example that was given to me. And they said, oh, look, okay, Lucretia, the building is on fire. And someone pushes you out the window and they catch you. Are you going to thank them or be mad at them? And I said, I'm going to thank them.
Right.
They said, but if the building isn't on fire and someone pushes you, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to be mad at them. He said, exactly. He said, so it doesn't matter. He said, what matters is why it's been done. So if you've been pushed to save your life, you're grateful. If you're being pushed because someone else is not honoring you, you can get resentful. Most people would rather be pulled. Most people would rather be pushed than pulled. Because if you push someone, you get behind them and support them and try to get them to a safe place. When you pull someone, they don't feel like they have a chance. And so I'm learning to, you know, in this conversation with this person, it's like your responsibility is to kind of get behind and look at why the person, why, you know, what was the motivation of the push? Was it to save your life, or was it in a place of they just were being inconsiderate? Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So push or pull. You got to, you know, which one to do in life for yourself and for other people. And you got to know which position you need to be in. I want people to push me, but I want to push myself too, to greater heights, greater depths, greater information, greater perceptions, greater belief systems, greater. I just want to know why I believe the way I believe. I want to know, where did that come from? And what is the source of my information? I want to know those things. I want to take full responsibility of those things for my life. And I would encourage other people to do the same.
All right. So we're going to wrap it up. Thank you for this conversation. This is really good. Talking about the different layers and the different systems of this world. That's really good. That's very insightful. And that kind of gives people a really good place to start. So until next time, folks, thank you for joining us, and we will talk to you later.
Hey there. Before you go, I wanted to share with you a cause that is very near and dear to Lucretia's heart. That is City Gospel Mission. City Gospel Mission has operated in the Cincinnati area since 1924, providing recovery services to those who have life-controlling issues, food for the hungry, shelter for the homeless, youth services, and job services. To find out more about how to give or to volunteer, go to www.citygospelmission.org. That's www.citygospelmission.org. Thanks.
You've been listening to the Embracing Change podcast. Music production and mastering by Gone Coastal Productions. Podcast editing and production by Jennifer Osborne. Podcast copyright 2021 by Lucretia Bowman.